Brendan Allen, as you look at this crazy NBA offseason, guys moving around, we got big significant players going back and forth. Has Minnesota been comfortable with the moves they have or haven't made, or teams that have around them made?
I think it's pretty well. I think they've kind of hit expectations. There was talk about acquiring D'Angelo Russell in some sort of a sign and trade, but they would have had to move a lot of contracts, a lot of money, giving up a couple of first round picks to be able to do that. So I think they did what was pretty much expected, which was kind of work around the edges of their roster. They've got a lot of money tied up in Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, Gorgui Jang and Jeff Teague. So there's not a lot of cap space available, but what Gerson Rosas did, who came up from Houston as their general manager now, or president of basketball operations, they filled out the rest of that roster, those spots that could be, the 7-8-9 man, the 10-11-12 man on the roster, and you kind of don't know how it shakes out until we get to the preseason, training camp, and all those things. But they worked around the edges, Jordan Bell and guys like Jake Lehman, Shabazz Napier, Noah Vonleh, not huge household names like we saw move around this summer from team to team, but quality guys that they think can help this team win.
Alan, that's what I think is most interesting about the moves that Minnesota has made in the offseason, is that I think they've accepted, outside looking in, they've accepted Karl Anthony Towns is the franchise. They're paying Andrew Wiggins. They're hoping Andrew steps up with his performance. They solidified the front office with a new GM, but also giving the vote of confidence to Ryan Sanders. But it's these other pieces that are intriguing because, like you said, they're not big names, but they're really not. They're not just solid citizens. These guys can play, and they're role players that could be effective in building around your two stars.
And that's what you really need in this league. Every team can throw money at their big-name players. I don't think that's the hard part. The hard part is building out the rest of your roster and making sure those pieces fit with the guys you're spending the big money on. And they've really focused. We saw since the firing of Tom Thibodeau last year and Ryan Saunders being promoted to head coach, we saw this team center their or build around and play around Karl Anthony Towns. And you saw his big numbers in the second half of the season. There weren't a lot of wins to show for it, but you can point to some other issues that the Wolves had late in the season, mainly injuries. And, that's another thing that a guy like Rob Covington, who did not play in the calendar year of 2019, so he only played under Tom Thibodeau, didn't play under Ryan Saunders. This is a guy who's incredibly important to the Wolves' defensive efforts. I mean, this guy is a lockdown wing defender, one of the better wing defenders in the NBA, and he didn't play after January 1st. So you're almost it's almost as if you're getting someone, an addition to the roster, because he was gone for so long from last season.
What about off the bench? Who would be the guys who can bring some of that production off the bench?
Well, it's going to be interesting. And you've got young guys like Jared Culver, who they drafted, probably would not start. Josh Okogie, he showed promise last year in starting a ton of games, most of them for Rob Covington. I think that's yet to be determined. I mean, you could honestly make a case for, eight or nine guys coming off the bench. Obviously, that's not going to happen on a nightly basis. But I think one area where the Wolves are going to struggle again this year is in three-point shooting. They still have not addressed, there's not that knockdown, steady guy from beyond the arc. I mean, you could argue that Jake Lehman is kind of that guy. So it's going to be interesting to see how it kind of shakes out with some of the younger guys, some of the vets that you brought in. Maybe guys have more experience. Like a Travion Graham is a guy that could help you, and certainly not a well-known guy. He's not going to help that three-point shooting, I don't think. But you could make the case that he's a part of your rotation, or you could make a case that he's probably your 14th or 15th man. So it's really so much is yet to be determined.
Alan, talk about not this coming season, but the season after, because the way I read it is Jang and Teague's large contracts are you're in a position where you could get those off the books. Is that correct?
So Teague will come off after this year. Gorgui would come off after the following season.
Okay, so in terms of the long-term plan to build it, it really becomes addition by subtraction, doesn't it? That you've got these two large contracts that on top of what your superstars certainly a superstar in Karl Anthony Towns. But it really is. I think we're kind of back to that 3 to 5 year rebuild, aren't we, in Minnesota? I know the Timberwolves fans are long suffering and they'd love something sooner. But it may be 3 years before you can really start looking at a team that can solidify itself and truly be a contender in the West.
Yeah, I don't know, Paul. I mean, that could be the case, but I think in this day and age, you can, you know, if you get the right mix of people and it all kind of clicks, I think you can make a pretty substantial jump in one season. And, you know, will that be this season? You know, the Vegas doesn't put them at more than 36 wins, but I think you can, when you have someone like Karl Anthony Towns, like I don't compare him to Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't think there's any comp for Giannis, but when you have a talent like that, can do so many different things, you have a chance, I think, to get really good really quickly if you put the right pieces around him. And I think the Wolves are trying to do that with Karl Anthony Towns, trying to figure out, okay, who's the best power forward to play with him? Is it somebody who can stretch the floor, or is that what Karl Anthony Towns does? You want someone who stays inside. Is it someone who can guard the five man, allow Karl to play the four? You know, there's a lot of different variables that go into it, but I think if you can around the edges, again, I think that's where really good GMs separate themselves. And I think the Wolves see it a lot within their own division. When you look at Oklahoma City, you look at Portland, you look at and Utah and Denver, those are really deep teams and have guys that can, you know, go 8 and 9 off the bench. And that's where those are the teams you see 4 times guaranteed every year. And the Wolves have played them obviously that way the last few years, and they've struggled, with the exception of 2 years ago when they did get 46 wins and get to the playoffs.
The Minnesota Timberwolves play-by-play man from WCO Radio down there in Minnesota is Alan Horton, joins us right now. Can't have a conversation about the Timberwolves. I'll have a really hard look at Andrew Wiggins, and you know, where is he at as far as you know, what many thought he might be, the guy that can be, you know, walk side by side with Karl Anthony Towns instead of maybe being a bit more of a role player. Where do you see him development wise going into this season?
Well, it's a very big year for Andrew Wiggins, and he's a very polarizing figure here because, you know, when you're the number one pick and you have all this hoopla surrounding you and you trade Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins, you know, a lot's expected, and there were big expectations for Andrew, and he hasn't quite met those expectations. I don't know whether those expectations were fair or not, but they are what they are. But I think at this point, you know, the number one pick and those expectations, those are past you. But what the expectations are now is when you're making max money, you've got to be this tremendous impact player. Otherwise, for any franchise, for any player that a team is paying their max player, if they're not getting max production out of that, then you're losing the battle. That's really the conundrum, because other teams are getting max production out of their max players. I don't know if I could use the word max anymore in that sentence. But, you know, every year, Timberwolves fans are encouraged by what they see from Wiggins. They see his workout videos. He's working with different people. You know, I kind of just push all that to the side, and I'll see what we see in training camp and in the preseason and then to start the regular season. Is this a guy who can get more engaged on the floor? Is this a guy that has shown it in games, shown it in spurts, but never been able to string together, I think, a full season in an efficient manner? Defensively, can he? I think he's risen to the challenge a little bit on his one-on-one defense, but his help defense has been questionable. And there are way too many times where Andrew Wiggins just kind of floats out there on the floor and is not an impact player. And you need him to be an impact player. And I think Ryan Saunders and Gerson Rosas have said all the right things in trying to encourage Andrew Wiggins, spending time with him, really getting to know him, because I think the best chance for the Wolves' success is to get a lot out of Andrew Wiggins and for him to have a breakout year. They've changed up the coaching staff, with the exception of Ryan Saunders, who stayed on. But, you know, David Vanderpool comes over from Portland. He was an assistant coach when Wiggins was with Team Canada a number of years ago. You bring in Pablo Prigioni to kind of run the offense, and he's a guy who's, you know, in Brooklyn, they play efficient basketball offensively. They accentuate shots at the rim and free throws and three-pointers, and they don't take a lot of mid-range shots. Well, that's a big part of Andrew Wiggins' game. Can you get him to change that? That's one of the big questions going into this season.
Alan, before we go, I really am anxious to hear, what your thoughts are on the NBA offseason. You've been around the game for a long, long time. Have you ever seen anything like this before? And how do you think all of these moves, some of them very, very interesting, and I would even use the term almost strange, but what do you think its overall net effect on the league and its balance is going to be?
Yeah, I kind of weigh, I come from, you know, I'm old enough to remember, you know, growing up in Western Massachusetts, I got hooked on the NBA thanks to the Boston Celtics and their run through the entire decade of the 80s. And the fact that, you know, those teams were together. You knew who your starting five was year in, year out. You knew the Lakers starting five. The Milwaukee Bucks were good during that stretch. The 76ers in the East. So I kind of, in an old school kind of way, I kind of wish guys would stay with their teams for maybe not their entire season, but a bigger chunk. But I think in today's day and age, in this video game age, and with our attention spans kind of dwindling by the day, it's, you know, we love, you know, I think fans like the change. I think it makes things interesting. I mean, who's not intrigued, at least? I don't want to say excited, but who's not intrigued to see what, you know, what Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant can eventually do in Brooklyn? Who's not intrigued by what's happening with the Clippers? And can the Clippers all of a sudden, you know, pass the, how about the Lakers, you know, and what they did and what Houston did with swapping Russell Westbrook in with and pairing him with James Harden? I'm fascinated. I just think there's so many great storylines. But it is a little unsettling to see so many of these big names just change teams. I mean, all you have to do is go back to look at the All-NBA teams from like 3 or 4 years ago, and 90% of them have changed teams. I mean, that's just crazy. But that's kind of where this league is, and that's what happened when the last CBA, they decided to shorten max contracts. You get greater turnover. But what it's done is it's created – this frenzy for free agency in the off season, unlike any other league, and I think the NBA has just capitalized that in a monster way. And like I said, the schedule gets released today. You see all the NBA national TV games, and you can look right down that list. And I could make a case for any of those teams. I think all 30 teams. There's a nightly basis. I get excited about what is out there for the Sacramentos of the world, whether it's the Lakers or the Suns. You know, I think this league is so intriguing. There's so much talent. It's just a matter of who can put it together and make a run at this thing.
Alan, great insight. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to talking more NBA with you as the winter gets going in a month or two.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Alan.